Hey! Oh my god! Wow, hi! Look, yeah, let me start again. Hello, this is Jiten, the host of Hear Here. And guess where I am? Hear Here! I am, oh my god, in Koramangala, which is in Bangalore, fifth block. I am just outside the Brooks and Bronze Brewery, where I had a great night with some new buddies from the couchsurfing community. Online, if you hadn't heard of couchsurfing, where have you been? It's international. It's a trusted website that people can hang out and also be accommodated if they need that. And during this evening's session, I actually met up with this fellow who I just felt like, okay, I'm not really going to go too much into introduction. Let's just say he's on a world tour, literally A Tribe Called Quest style, to travel just to visit every single country,
right?
And he's visited, actually, why don't you tell him, before you tell him your name, just,
Hello, so my name is Saurav Arya. I have been on this quest to visit all the countries. It's been almost halfway, so 91 countries so far, but 104 more to go.
Okay, wait, say that again, what?
So
we'll just share, like, if you just hold it while I...
Yeah. So it's been a long journey. It's been to 91 countries, but there are like 195, so it's 104 more to go. So it's a lifelong quest, and I feel that having a quest adds a purpose to your life, you know. So I decided to have this purpose so that, you know, I rest all the other things that are revolving around it.
That's amazing. And I guess you need to be clapping for this. There's a clap function if you're new to this website, Anchor.fm. Clap your asses off right now, because that's amazing. That's why as soon as he told me that, I was like, dude, mate, I haven't had a podcast in a while. I had to literally reset my password. It's been so long, my phone didn't recognize it. Maybe I'm in a different country, but wow. So 91 countries and 105 to go?
104 more to go, yeah.
104, okay, so tell me, where have you been, just briefly in a quick nutshell?
All right, so it's been 12 years since I started my travel. I started with Europe, then went to all over Asia, a little bit of East Africa, Americas. So that's so far, but still so many countries in Africa left, a lot of small little island that's left, yeah.
And dare I ask, what's your one of your at least favorite moments or memorable experiences that come to your mind now?
Ooh, that's very, very difficult to pick one.
It's difficult to ask you.
Yes, so it's because when you're on a world tour, traveling around, it's like your life is full of so many amazing moments, and you can't say that, hey, that one was better than this one, you know. But still, I feel as a traveler, I really feel more alive in the places where usually tourists don't go to, so less touristic places. So like when I went to Central Asia, when I was in Kyrgyzstan, it was very, very special. Last year when I was in Rwanda, it was amazing. I was traveling with my dad and went to places where you would hardly see any other traveler, you know. So you feel welcomed, you feel special, and you feel more alive. You feel welcomed by the people who are surprised to see you.
It's
not like going to touristic places like Paris or Barcelona, where it's flooded with the tourists.
So literally it's a path of the least traveled. I think we'll go up a little bit more because it's a little bit more quiet, so we're hearing a little bit traffic on the road, which is all good. You know how I do my podcast, Roving Ragga Reporter, you know, live on the scene. We're gonna get some music from up here. I think we kind of, here's good. Who did you meet in Rwanda? Tell me their name.
In Rwanda.
So
I was traveling with my dad. I don't remember the name of the people, but so for me the travel is all about is about freedom, and it's about being curious. And I travel in search of fulfillment, creative freedom, and spiritual growth. And I what I liked about Rwanda the most is It stands out amongst this East African country. The capital, Kigali, is one of the cleanest city in the world.
Really?
In cleanest amongst African capitals,
right.
In fact. And it's growing really fast.
Okay.
So I think Rwanda can be called as a Singapore of Africa.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
And so why is that? Well, I haven't been to Singapore. Tell us about Singapore. Why do they call it that?
So Singapore is
showing how well-traveled I am, obviously.
So, yeah, it's like Singapore is everything is in order, and you know it's growing fast, and you know it's perfect. The economy is doing great.
Right. Okay.
So yeah, it's like it's a, like country every other country is looking up to,
right.
You know. So yeah, it's an ideal state, and it's the same is with the Rwanda. It's growing really fast, and it's kind of a icon amongst the African countries.
So I'm going to play the devil's advocate here, and mate, isn't it a bugger having to change your currency in so many different like times, and like having to learn the coinage system, or are you not there that long? And mate, also, I don't know if you're traveling by plane, but having to wait in departure lounge for so long, or are you hitchhiking? Tell me about it. Like,
yeah,
what's your financial situation as well? Are you like hitchhiking, like backpacking this? Is this like thrifty economy traveling, or are you like a son of a billionaire?
No. So I do feel that traveling is not about saving a lot of money and then going for it.
Yeah.
Traveling is about finding your way out. And I hitchhiked, I did dumpster diving, I stayed in couch surfing. So I traveled extremely frugally when I left my job in 2011 and started traveling. I went on a tour in Asia and Africa in 2012.
Okay.
So that time I was traveling extremely frugally.
Right.
But now I try...
Well, give us an idea, like how frugal?
I was mostly hitchhiking when I was circumnavigating India.
Okay.
I was always on a lookout when I have to fly from one place to another. I'll wait for the low-cost carrier. Like I'll wait for the best, least-priced flight to take. Yeah. So yeah, and it's like when you're staying with a couch surfer, you can always trade your skills,
right,
you know.
Right.
So
what's
like that.
Your skills? What were you trading?
So I'm into designing.
Okay.
And then a lot of times in couch surfing, people they wanted to hear about the travel tips, and they wanted to know about how to go about travels, right? So they were happy to listen to my stories in return of, you know, giving me a stay for a couple of days.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah.
When you're out of breath after a while. When you're out of breath after a while, didn't you want a glass of water? Be like, listen, man, I just want to sit down. Can I just hang on to the story for 10 minutes?
Yeah. Right. So yeah. Like.
Just kidding. Yeah. What kind of food did you eat? I mean, like, okay, so let's backtrack a bit. So we've just only met, like, about an hour or so ago, you came in and you seem to know the Australian lady who's got an interesting story, actually.
Yeah.
She moved to India 3 years ago.
Yeah.
She got a job for a year and a half.
Yeah.
She's from the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
And she just stayed here ever since.
Yeah.
And she's moved around to like Delhi and places like that. And you seem to kind of get, you know her, which is what I like about the couchsurfing community.
Yeah.
Like, people from all walks of life and literally every country you can imagine, there's someone from there. And, you know, they're all either looking for some sort of connection or a place to stay or an event or something. Like, so for me, couchsurfing was also really good. So I'll tell you a little bit about my story, as you asked. So, like, that's the first question you asked me, that you're like, what's your story? And I was like,
yes.
I love this guy.
That's the best way to know someone.
Yeah, exactly. So my answer to that was, you know, I've just come here, it's been about 5 days, I'm staying for a little while. And then when you answered that question, I don't think, like, you gave me a story, I didn't give you a story, I just told you literally what I just did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's good to hear the comparisons and people, like, not that one is right or one is wrong, but it's you know, it's cool.
Yeah.
So, like, I used to use couchsurfing when I wanted some connection, and I was going through a bit of a troubled time at that time. So I used to go to a couple of events I went to, like,
yeah,
they had like franglais sessions, so like English French speaking kind of skills exchange swap type of thing. And I met like some really good really good, helpful people I needed. So they kind of came to my rescue when I needed it, and I just kind of met them like on that night, which is really good. And one of them just lived down the road from me, and so as I was leaving, he helped me with my bags and stuff.
Yeah,
it's really good. So yeah.
Yeah.
If you're listening, hello, Andre. Thanks for that. So yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Yes, Couchsurfing is an amazing community, and I've been active on it since 2006. So many stories, and you get to meet so many cool people. And Couchsurfing is the best way to get into the skin of a city. You know, when you go to a new place, you need someone who can show you around, who can, you know, tell you about the place. So yeah, it's amazing. It's, So yeah, Couchsurfing is an amazing community of more than 10 million people.
Wow.
And when you go to a new place and you get in touch with a couchsurfer who is happy to host you or show you around, you instantly feel at home. You know, that, so so nothing beats it.
No, it's amazing. I mean, it's like a more community-minded meetup. What's that website called again? Where you can not meet up. The other one where you can stay at people's houses, and they rent out a room. What's that website again?
Airbnb.
Airbnb. Yeah, I think couchsurfing. I mean, Airbnb. They do try and do that, and I'm sure they're probably active in that scene. But I mean, there's more of an organic approach to couchsurfers. Okay, you're gonna get everybody from like people who don't have money, people who do have money, and everything in between. But again, like you said, money is not the issue here. It's really about, I think, the soul of a human being and really what they're sharing with each other, which is, I like what you said about this is a journey of like, I mean, I'm going to use my word, but like enlightenment, self-discovery, spirituality, growth, you know, and I always use the word unlearning,
right,
you know, exchange.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we're humans as a community already, like we're a human tribe.
Yeah.
And back in the day, I'm talking like, you know, tens of thousands of years ago, we always lived around fires and in nature and the trees, and we would listen to each other's stories and songs and stuff like that. And obviously that goes on still today in many traditional, like historical, you know, family, like cultures, you know, that still have that ancestry alive and well. I love it. You know, it reminds me of, I went to this festival called Buddhafield, which is in UK. It's like a vegan, conscious festival, and I volunteer there. I help out, you know, I get involved. And they have fires, and people sing songs, they dance, they tell stories, and so I'm saying this because this kind of feels like, I mean, you know, not just the Airbnb, but like couch surfing, and not just couch surfing, but the mentality of the kind of person that gets involved with kind of this kind of movement, let's say, is more open, more flexible, right?
Yeah, that's what we need.
Have you found that to sort of be that way? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. So what I felt is that traveling is about being curious, like a 5-year-old.
You mentioned that, yeah.
Yes, and it's not like you need to take a ticket and go to a far off place to feel that. Being in your own city, you can get into that mindset.
Yeah.
And that's what makes us open to new experiences. And learn and unlearn, which is important in our life.
Definitely.
Yeah.
What's been your most, I always say most and like, you know, best favorite and most memorable experience, but what's been one of your most difficult situations that you really were like, oh shit.
All right.
Like,
so,
sorry, I didn't ask that question, sorry. Yeah. What's been one of your most difficult situations that you felt like, oh shit, like what?
So actually I have an infographic about it. So it's like, I feel that most of the things that could go wrong during the travels has happened, kind of. I talk about being mugged, being robbed, losing your stuff, getting...
Beaten up.
And it's like...
has that happened? You've been beaten up?
Huh? Beaten up? Yeah. It's part of the travel.
Right.
And especially if you're on the road for long, it happens. Like everything that could happen... happens, and what actually it makes you is it makes you more malleable, and it makes you kind of be open to everything, and you know, not get disappointed enough. You know, it makes you it shakes your ego. You know, and you become more calm, and you know, nothing disappoints me enough after all that. I remember in 2013 when I lost all my stuff, all the belongings, even my passport in Paris, and it was such a tough day. But the next day I thought that, all right, fine, I lost my camera, lost my wallet, my passport, but still I have to keep going. So I had to contact the Indian embassy, get a new passport, apply for the visa again, start from the scratch. But yeah, I had to keep going. And I don't think that any setbacks is going to affect me or stop my quest to visit all the countries. It's going to be
amazing. I mean, yeah, because you know what? I'm getting words like perseverance, tenacity, like an inner strength. One who goes on a journey like this, because I'm also on a journey as well. I mean, we all are. And so I was talking with my my friend Dave in London. Shout out to Learning Marathon. We had a session. It's a 6-month program. It's called the Learning Marathon. Is the name of the organization. Let's say it's a sort of autodidactic like support service that we all offer each other for peers and professionals that buddy up with each other. So in this phase of the last phase of the it's called Enroll Yourself. And yeah, on this phase, just before I left to come here, to come to India, he was saying, it kind of like you're on a journey, and like this kind of like a handful of archetypes, I think it's 5 archetypes, and everyone's trying to find like one of these out of, you know, whether it's like to find your own, I mean, ultimately for me, everything's about finding yourself.
Exactly.
And then finding like who you really are beyond the surface of your name and, you know, your skin color and like your, you know, identity and, you know, like who you're brought up to be and who you think you are and all those sorts of things. And so he was talking about that and I was like, yeah, you know what, I am on a journey. And I kind of thought to myself, going back to the archetypes, there's one about like, you know, the going on a hero's journey like Harry Potter did, or like Luke Skywalker and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, but with these things, you need to be up for it, obviously. But it's like something inside us in the human spirit, the indomitable spirit of man, as quoting from Rocky 3 there, before they gave him the statue. I don't know if you've seen that film, Rocky 3. So long ago, I'm just a big Rocky nut, all my friends are back home. But basically, before they unveiled the statue of him, they said, this is the dedication of Philadelphia's favorite son, Rocky Balboa. And due to the indomitable spirit of man, we're just going to get some interference here, so just let them pass by. This is also a metaphor for life, that people go past you on your journey, you need to let them go gracefully. And wish them well, you know, even if they do mug you. yeah, let's should we stand for a bit? Yeah. So so going back to the different kind of archetypes, like I can't remember what they all are now, but it's literally about so you got the hero's journey, you got like someone who's finally trying to find the like proverbial pot of gold, you know. And I hear that sort of stuff, and I think ultimately it's just really about going in, for me anyway, just going within myself and uncovering all the ego and conditioning and all that sort of stuff as well. So like, what made you start this journey, if you haven't already answered this, like what made you want to do this, and why are you still doing it?
I'll be happy to talk about the trigger. For me, when I started working, I was in a regular 9-to-5 job. I was working in steel industry in a small village in Italy, and I felt that 9-to-5 is kind of, it was getting monotonous for me, and I was really looking forward to weekends where I could explore countryside when I was in Italy.
Right. So how old were you then?
I was 20.
95.
No. That was back in 2006.
2006, you're 20.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
So
that's pretty young to be having these, like, get me out of this box and like kind of urging for more. I think that's for me the soul whispering, saying, "Come on, there's something more than two in life."
But then in 2011, I felt that maybe now is the time to take a gap year.
Okay.
So I decided to take a gap year in 2012. I call it year full of Sundays. I thought that, all right, I have to live a year where every day is going to be like a Sunday. No boss, no subordinate, just go with the flow and explore. And
so what's that one called? Live?
Year full of Sundays.
Year full of Sundays. Okay, sounds quite cool.
Yeah, and by the end of it, I felt that that 1 year was so much full of moments, so many experiences, that I felt like I lived 10 years in that 1 year. And I decided that I'm going to live rest of my life like that, not going back to the office. I'll rather have a small business, And yeah, I won't trade my time. You know,
yeah.
I'll have the freedom in my own hands.
Yeah. Amazing, well, amazing.
Yeah. Thank you. And I think that's the future of work. I do feel that now we all of us are empowered with the shared economy and with on-demand economy. All of us are empowered to work for ourselves or to convince our boss to let us work remotely. I think the days of selling our time is gone. I feel that selling our time is a kind of slavery, and it's time we should realize it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, and it gives us immense freedom when we decide not to sell our time and take full control of our life, you know, be our own boss, or have a kind of arrangement where we make it very clear to our boss that, hey, look, so it's not about the time we are clocking, it's about what I'm bringing in, right? So so let's work on that terms. Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, okay, so what would you say for those people who totally dig where you're at and really like are on the verge of it, but there's also that scare mentality where it's easy to stay in the comfort zone and look back and be like, oh, my friends, my boss, my job, my house, my home, my food, like whatever. But they still want to do something. So how do they get out of that? What did you do that kept you actually? So you had the year full of Sundays, and then?
Yeah. So after a year full of Sundays, I decided to have a small business which allowed me to work remotely from anywhere.
So what was that business?
So I have a content design agency.
Right.
So we make infographics and data visualization, and I have a couple of hospitality places.
Okay.
So I started reading Tim Ferriss, Chris Gillibeau, and they inspired.
Mate, I was gonna mention Tim Ferriss to you, man.
Yes, man. He started the digital nomad movement.
Right.
So yes, thanks a lot to Tim for his book 4-Hour Workweek.
Big up Tim Ferriss.
Yeah.
Check out the 4-Hour Workweek. It's awesome.
Right. So yeah, and now I feel that it's a wave, and there is so many digital nomads. You go anywhere in Southeast Asia, you go to Bangkok, Bali, and you see that so many people are working remotely. So it's a big trend. And now I don't think it's about you choosing it. Many businesses are choosing to be completely remote. So it's a big trend. So we are completely on it. So the way we live and work is changing.
Yeah.
And it's the right time to do it. And I do see that some people, they feel like maybe they need to prepare for it, or, you know, but I feel that the best way to go about it is just to jump and build your wings on the way down.
Right.
So you don't need much preparation. You just need to take the plunge, and it happens.
That's so cool. Jump and build your wings on the way down, because it's going to lift you up and you can fly on your own terms. I love that. That's so cool. I'm really about like individual empowerment, self-empowerment, even when it comes to challenges, physical, mental, that I may have or people may have, not to sort of define my life according to that challenge or condition or whatever, just to kind of see myself more than that. And I'm just learning and trying and learning every day, you know. That's awesome. That's so good. But what about people who don't have skills, who don't do infographic, who can't set up an agency and this and that, but they just have the desire and the heart for it, but they don't have a system, a support, peer network? Because you're very independent. Some people are not. What can you say for them?
So we are living in a time where there are so many tools which has democratized acquiring new skills. For example, if you want to learn something, you have so many MOOCs. You have massive open online courses. You have Udemy.
Yeah, you know? Udemy.com, yeah.
Yeah, so you can easily learn it. So it's all about your intention. If you set your intention clear, you're going to be on that path.
That's brilliant.
So, yeah, I don't think that even if you're starting from the scratch, it's all right. You can acquire skills. In fact, what I'm seeing is that there are so many nomads who keep on acquiring new skills, and they're completely changing.
Yeah.
I feel the word career is over.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to be on the same path for all our life. You know, we have to keep on reinventing ourselves, rediscovering ourselves.
Absolutely. You know what? So me being here for, you know, hanging out in, you know, here in this beautiful, amazing Bharat of my origins, is so cool to be in. And so I'm here because I'm going back to the drawing board in my life in so many ways. I decided I'm going to come here for sadhana, to do yoga. Are you all right for time? Yeah, cool. But now that I've come here, I'm doing creative stuff. I did a stand-up comedy gig yesterday, improvised stuff. I mean, things are just flowing and happening. So I'm deciding to be less rigid about exactly why I came here and being much more open to what is coming through as I'm here. And that's serving me amazing.
And I must say, Jiten, that you inspired me to start my own podcast. Wow. I would. So one other quest I'm on is to build an army of Indian digital nomads. Yes, and mate, I would like to run a podcast for the same. There's so many nomads, and let's do it. Thank you so much for
definitely. That's wicked. Of course. And so I'm actually a nomad in the way that for the last, so I'm sort of like a non-traditional guy in my family, and I fit in now with a new set of friends. Before there were like into things that like weren't really life, pro-life and things like that, and we all have that sort of time in our life, and I'm just coming into myself, capital S, from this identity called Jiten, right? So respectively speaking, so like I'm here so I can sort of figure things out. And I've been traveling on and off for like at least several years, I would say, traveling around Europe, Asia, India. That's Asia. So like when I meet people such as yourself, I feel there's like a sort of synergy that I feel with them, like yourself, immediately. So that's why I just felt like, hey, I want to just speak to this guy, whether he says yes or not today or tomorrow. I even felt, I was like, dude, I don't think it's going to happen. So like, let's just do it now.
I'm
like, how long is
it? Thankful to you for that. And I wish you all the best for your journey and your sadhana.
Thank you so much. I would love to continue on and carry another time. Before we do, let's wrap up. Give us your links. How can people contact you? What's your online handles?
Alright, so you can contact me on Instagram. My handle is Saurav Arya. It's SAURAVARYA.
Okay, great. So that's all your handles for...
Mostly I write on Instagram. I'm there on Facebook and LinkedIn as well. But I think Instagram is the right platform to follow me.
That's brilliant. That's amazing. I'm definitely going to... Well, you already followed me today. I'm going to follow you back. Listen, oh my God, guys. I don't know what to say, but it's time to go home. But remember, home is where the heart is, and heart has a capital A. I'm all about that, baby. So listen, it's been a long time, but I think it's been worth a while, right, guys? Come on, you gotta say, give me some claps here and there. Yes, make sure you follow Saurav Arya. This is Jiten Patel signing out here live from India. Guys, come on, look.
Karamangala.
Karamangala. Such a not coconut. All right, thanks a lot. Cheers. Bye. Cool.